Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Returning now to the threat of an escalation of war in the Middle East, as world leaders call on Israel to show restraint over Iran's weakened missile and drone attack, its war cabinet has met today to discuss their response. It's understood the cabinet discussed a range of options with the intention of hurting Iran, but without causing an all-out war. John Brennan is former director of the CIA, and he joins me now. John, you're very welcome to Drive Time.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Do you think, having listened to all the reports and read the reports, that an Israeli attack on Iran is now inevitable?
Well, I think some Israeli response is inevitable, but I know that the Biden administration is putting a fair amount of pressure and encouraging Israel not to do something that's going to trigger an all-out war. And that would be some type of Israeli military strike against Iran itself. But Israel has a number of other options available to it. It can strike against Iranian forces that are in Syria. It can carry out covert operations inside of Iran. It can also carry out some type of cyber operation to disrupt some of Iran's infrastructure and capabilities. Or it could even take a strike against an Iranian vessel on the high sea. So I do think Israel wants to avoid a further expansion of this conflict. But I do believe that Israel is going to feel compelled by some of its domestic constituents to respond somehow against Iran.
You mentioned the pressure that President Biden is applying to Israel and to the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But he has defied those that kind of influence and pressure previously, notably in the conflict in Gaza. So there is no evidence to suggest that he's going to heed Washington here at all.
Well, I don't know whether or not he has disregarded President Biden's admonitions about the conflict in Gaza. It's true that Israel has conducted, I think, rather aggressive and over-the-top operations there. But I do think that Netanyahu has taken some heed to what President Biden has said. For example, he has not gone into Rafah yet, and he has opened up some more humanitarian corridors.
But he said he set a date for the ground invasion of Rafah.
Well, he says that he set a date, but he didn't announce any type of date there. And I believe he's probably going to go into Rafah at some point. But I do think he recognizes the importance of maintaining good relations with Washington. The United States really did help Israel to repel 99% of those missile and drone attacks over the weekend. And that advanced intelligence and coordination with the United States military and intelligence agencies, I think, is critically important to Israel. So I don't think Netanyahu is just going to dismiss out of hand President Biden's words of counsel. But at the same time, I think Netanyahu is going to try to ensure that he does something to appease what I think is the right-wing elements of his cabinet and coalition that he tends to listen to.
Can I get your reaction to this tweet from John Bolton, John? He says, if Joe Biden is encouraging Israel not to retaliate after what we saw on Saturday, he is truly an embarrassment to the United States. It's in America's best interest that Iran, the principal threat to international peace and security, is neutralized.
Well, I think John Bolton is a well-known war hawk. And I listened to him over the weekend as well, and he was advocating basically an all-out military operation against Iran to try to destroy its military capabilities as well as its nuclear capabilities. And that is not that easily done. In fact, this would lead to, I think, an all-out conflagration in the region. So John Bolton is on the extremist end of sort of the right-wing war hawks here in this country, and I don't believe that this is something that would be advisable under almost any circumstances.
It's very difficult to balance all of the factors here, and it's very difficult for Israel to strike back, retaliate without causing wider conflict, isn't it? Because they initially hit Iranian commanders in Damascus. Iran gave a warning, they say, to the United Nations and the Security Council to admonish Israel in some way, to condemn condemned the attack. They're saying that didn't happen. And then the retaliation from Iran on the weekend. And now we're into a situation where Israel feels it has to retaliate yet again. At what point could something happen that would engage far more states and cause greater trouble than anyone could envisage?
Well, you're absolutely right. The eye for an eye mentality is very, very strong in the Middle East. And so that's why Iran launched these strikes against Israel the weekend in retaliation for the strike that Israel took against its consulate in Damascus that killed several of the high-ranking commanders. And so the question is, what can Netanyahu and the Israelis do that's going to be a response to the Iranian strike, but at the same time not be a trigger to a broader war? And that's exactly what the Biden administration is counseling right now, not to do something that's going to lead to this escalatory spiral and retaliatory spiral that's just going to get out of control. So, again, something short of an Israeli military strike against Iran, I think, is what the Netanyahu cabinet will opt for. But, he tends to be very aggressive. And again, he listens to his right-wing coalition that seems to be more aligned in some regards with what John Bolton was saying.
Why do you think, John, that Israel hit Damascus and the Iranian officials at the consulate in Damascus without U.S. approval?
Well, I think they blame Iran for enabling Hamas to carry out those atrocities on October 7th. It was because of Iranian support, material assistance, training, and it's the Al-Quds force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that does that. And so several of those commanders who were there in Damascus at the time were the principal interlocutors with Hamas. And I'm confident that Israel felt that they had to carry out that strike as a way to respond to what they see as Iranian empowerment of Hamas's terrorist-making capabilities.
Mm-hmm. So you can go state by state, or you can go by proxy, or you can have covert operations in terms of a response, which is what you mentioned earlier on. What could Israel do covertly?
Well, I think there's been wide-scale reports about some senior Iranian officials in Iran who have been assassinated with the claim that Israel was behind that. So Israel has very strong capabilities on the covert front, and they could conduct some types of operations, sabotage or whatever else inside of Iran as a way to not necessarily hide the hand of Israel, because I think it would be clear that maybe Israel was responsible, but not do something in an overt military way that would then make Iran feel that it had to respond somehow in kind. The reason why Iran took this unprecedented move of striking Israel proper was because they say that the strike in Damascus was against its embassy complex there, which would be sovereign Iranian territory based on international law. And therefore, they felt that they had to respond directly and directly against Israeli soil as well. And I do think they were aiming to try to destroy that southern Israeli Air Force base from where those fighter jets reportedly had taken off from.
It's extremely complex right now, the road that has led us to this point, isn't it? And there is an argument that suggests that Benjamin Netanyahu now feels a little bit unleashed, and he's not restrained much on recent evidence by U.S., despite what you say about President Biden and U.S. influence. And when the U.S. vetoed a U.N. resolution for a humanitarian ceasefire way back in December, even when it was quite clear then that the military response of Israel, according to some, was disproportionate and the deaths were mounting, maybe at this point, as per Chuck Schumer, that Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way, and who knows what could happen.
Well, I tend to agree with those who criticize the extent to which the United States has been willing to support Israel in its military operations in Gaza. And Bibi Netanyahu is pursuing a very, very aggressive and ruthless military campaign there. And it's been disproportionate in terms of the number of Palestinians who have been killed. And the criticism from the Biden administration has been steadily increasing. But now with this Iranian effort to assault Israel, I think there are a lot of individuals, certainly in the halls of Congress, who believe that we need to continue with this support to Israel in order to protect it from its regional enemies. But again, I do believe it's very, very unfortunate that what has happened in Gaza has resulted in the deaths of over 30,000 Palestinians. And I'm hoping that the Israelis are not going to go into Rafah with the same type of ruthless aggression that has been evident, I think, in some other areas of Gaza.
Is that death toll in Gaza, over 33,000, many of them, the majority of them, innocent people, is that in any way uncomfortable for Washington, given the military and weapons support up to the tune of $4 billion a year that it gives Israel?
I think that's why the majority leader, Senator Schumer, in the Senate, spoke out so forcefully and publicly against Netanyahu and saying that there need to be new elections and new leadership in Israel.
I do think that there are a lot of folks.
But there have been things that have happened over the past number of years that unfortunately have disregarded some of the very legitimate interests of the Palestinian people. And unfortunately, Hamas has taken advantage of that by carrying out those heinous and horrific attacks. But I do think that there is growing criticism within the United States, including in Jewish communities here, about what Bibi Netanyahu has been doing. And we'll have to see, you know, where it goes. But I know the Biden administration is really torn by maintaining its support for the Israeli state, at the same time trying to discourage Netanyahu from continuing on what has been, I think, a very bloody course.
Can I ask you finally about ceasefire talks and efforts? Because the current CIA director, William Burns, was in the Middle East for new Israel hostage talks in the past week. What is your opinion, or what is the hope, in your opinion, of a ceasefire being on the horizon?
Well, I certainly hope that will happen, but there's a question of how many Israeli hostages can be freed as part of the deal that would reach a ceasefire. And it seems as though Hamas has maybe several dozen, but other Israeli hostages may either be deceased or could be held by other groups inside of Gaza, or even some of the street gangs that have now have control of some of the areas of Gaza. So I do think there's still a fair amount of negotiation that needs to go on in terms of the number of hostages to be released, the number of Palestinian prisoners in Israel to be released. But unfortunately, I think this conflict is going to continue for some time to come.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the program. That's Sean Brennan, former director of the CIA.